now welcome in our play-by-play man, Brendan Batchelor, joining the show. What's going on, Batch?
It's a beautiful day, boys. The sun is shining. Man United is top of the league. I am in a tremendous mood. We've got hockey back tonight. There's absolutely nothing that could bring me down on a day like this.
Celebrating a half-season championship. Nice job, Manchester United fans.
Well, hey, you know what? We've got to take small victories where we can get them. I came on this show in September, and I told you guys they were going to win the league, and they're in position right now. I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling fired up. They're going to do well this weekend. They're going to keep pushing, and they're going to hoist that trophy at the end of the season.
All right, Batch, one question for you, though. What happened when the last time they were at the top of a standings by 3 points? Do you remember what happened in the Champions League?
Well, you know what? The Champions League doesn't matter. It's all about strength of the league, and that's what we're focused on this season. You know, Ole's got the guys ready to roll. Paul Pogba is coming into great form. You see that goal he scored the other day against Burnley. You know, you're not going to bring me down with that, Randy. It's all about the Premier League this year.
All right. That's enough Manchester United talk for today on the show. We're getting hyped for the season opener. You'll be on the call tonight for the Canucks and the Oilers. A new season brings new beginnings, brings new challenges, as we're already seeing with the Canucks lineup. But what are your expectations for the Vancouver Canucks this season, Batch?
I think they'll be a playoff team in the North Division. It might be touch and go, and it might come down to late in the year for them to get there. But, you know, I look at the team as a whole, and, you know, when you look at their forward group, certainly you lose Tyler Toffoli. That's not ideal. But, you know, assuming they have a healthy group, and if they had JT Miller in the lineup tonight, you know, Nils Höglander kind of slots in there. It's an improvement on what we saw from the forward group for most of last season when Louis Erickson was playing in the top six. Then you look at the defense, and I don't think anybody can argue that it's improved from last year with Nate Schmidt and Travis Hamonic coming in, and Ole Joel Levy set to make his debut tonight. You know, I like that group, and, you know, certainly the goaltending has likely taken a step back from, you know, what could have been a Vezina nominee kind of season from Jacob Markstrom. But at the same time, you've got two goaltenders that you believe can go in there and help you win on any night, and maybe they won't steal you games to the degree that Markstrom did last year. But you know what? If the blue line is better, then maybe they won't have to steal you games to the same degree that Markstrom did. So to me, they're a playoff team alongside the Flames, Maple Leafs, and Canadiens. And I've got their opponents tonight in the Edmonton Oilers missing the postseason again.
Okay, there you go. There's predictions by Batch. Batch, so you mentioned JT Miller. We know he's going to be out of the lineup for a little bit here because of the protocol, but what's the plan without JT Miller? Is that going to be Jake Virtanen's spot?
Yeah, we expect so. We saw Jake Virtanen skate there yesterday at practice. I gather he skated there during the morning skate in Edmonton today as well. So, you know, this is a big opportunity for Jake as a guy that didn't get a chance in the top six throughout training camp, was going to be penciled in on that third line to start the season. Not only is he going to be on the top line, it looks like he's going to move over to the left wing, which is something that I know people have found intriguing in the past, and him being able to attack the net from his off wing. So, you know, the offensive upside you like, certainly not to the same degree that Miller would be there, but I like that Travis Green is thinking offense by putting Virtanen on that line. And then as Brock Besser put it yesterday when he was asked the question, those guys just need to make sure they're much more defensively responsible than otherwise with Jake on that line, because certainly his game is more suited to offense than defense.
What do we expect from Nils Höglander? How have you liked his game here through training camp?
Yeah, I mean, I've liked it. I think anybody that has had a chance to watch the sessions has liked it. You know, you heard Travis talk about it there, not just his high-end skill, but his tenacity and his intensity are things that could bode well for him. I'll be interested to see how he does tonight, because with Miller not being in the lineup, I wonder if Travis Green, certainly he doesn't have last change, but, you know, obviously you would be more comfortable with the Pettersson line going head-to-head against McDavid or Dreisaitl, and now it'll be likely that he'll try to get the Horvat line out against one of those two lines a fair bit tonight, which means Höglander is being put in a tough matchup in his first NHL game. But, you know, that's the only question I have is defensive play from him, and that's something that we'll learn about his ability to adapt to the small rink in the NHL level as the season goes on here. But, you know, to me, I think it says a lot that they trusted him to put him in the top six on day one of training camp. And the fact that he's remained there says everything you need to know about what the coaching staff thinks of his ability to play an increased role on this roster.
Hoglander is going to be one of the debuts. You mentioned Olia Levy. Nate Schmidt is another, potentially Braden Holtby as well. Which player are you most excited to watch for the Canucks for the first time?
Well, it's Hoglander for sure, just because of the, you know, the lack of body of work, I guess, right? Like, oftentimes you start a regular season, and for us covering the team, you've seen him through training camp, you know, maybe through Young Stars. You know, you've seen multiple exhibition games. We haven't had that opportunity. It's been a handful of practices and a couple of scrimmages, and now he's going to be dropped into the deep end of the NHL. So I'm excited to see how he handles that moment tonight. Otherwise, I kind of think I know what I'm going to get from Olia Levy. He's just been so solid and steady throughout training camp that, you know, I feel like when we get to the post-game show tonight, the guys won't be talking about Olia Levy, but that'll be a good thing because he's one of those guys that at least early in his career, if he's going under the radar, making the right plays, not turning the puck over, that's a good night for him. And then, you know, other than Hoglander, I'm probably most excited for Nate Schmidt just to see if he's able to help key their transition game to a similar degree that Hughes did last year and will continue to do, because if they have you know, two offensive-minded defensemen that can really push pace on those two different pairings, and then, you know, you could probably throw Myers into that category as well on the third pairing with Ulevi, then that means that, you know, they can be dangerous in transition anytime any one of those pairings is on the ice. And, you know, that's certainly an exciting prospect to think about going into the year.
Braden Holtby, likely to get the start tonight, I guess, the way I'm looking at it. But how has he looked to you in camp? And, you know, do you sense that there could be a bounce back in him after a tough year in Washington?
Yeah, I think there could. To me, he's looked really strong throughout camp. And not necessarily that he's had to make tremendous saves, although he did make a couple of pretty impressive stops in the second of the two scrimmages. But that he seems to be playing within himself. He's a guy who's letting the puck hit him. He's not flailing or diving all over the place. And, you know, that problem, you know, it wasn't really a trademark of Braden Holtby's game anyway. But I do think that getting a chance to work with Ian Clark here, and he's been in town for over a month now, has Braden Holtby. You know, I think it's a really good setup for him. Obviously, he's going to be playing behind a team that'll be better defensively than the group he had in Washington last year. So I've got confidence in Braden Holtby from what I've seen throughout training camp. I expect he'll be the starter tonight as well. So that, you know, gives you an idea of what the coaching staff thinks of what they've seen from him. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he has a bounce back year. But that said, they're going to need Thatcher Demko to build off what he did in the playoffs as well. Because even if he's not starting tonight, he's probably starting tomorrow and close to half of the games throughout the regular season anyway. So these are both guys that are going to get work, and they're both guys that are going to need to be able to give the Canucks a chance to win on most nights.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Sportsnet 650's very own Brendan Batchelor. Brendan, prediction season, so we got to get a couple more from you. Who's going to be the Canucks MVP this year?
It'll be Elias Pettersson. And you know what? He probably could have been last year as well, and there was lots of conversation about that. But, you know, it feels to me like Pettersson is poised to you know, take his game to yet another level this year. You know, having a full year under his belt, skating with Miller and Besser for most of last season, you know, their chemistry is only going to build. I think there's a great opportunity for this power play to take a big step in the right direction. And, you know, obviously it was a top five power play last year, but I think it can still be there and maybe improve to a certain degree. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we're talking about him in the conversation, not just for the MVP of the Canucks, but for the MVP of the league by the end of the season. And you know, my opinion on that is part of the reason why I see the Canucks being a playoff team, because, you know, now that he's got experience in the postseason, albeit in the strange situation in the bubble last year, I feel like he's primed to elevate his game to another level and, you know, potentially drag the Canucks by the scruff of their neck into the playoffs with it.
Batch, we'll be listening tonight. Please try to limit the Manchester United top of the table references if you can.
I'll limit it to one every couple of minutes. How about that?
All right.
Fair enough. We'll be listening.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.